50,000 watt News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000 watt 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, Mother's Day, the 13th of May, Anno Domini 2007, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And
I wrote that for Glenn, by the way.
Yeah, do you have to go to alliteration school?
Yeah.
I know. That's completely crackers, compadre.
Well, that's why I asked you when I was in there.
Yeah.
Can I refer to you three as a cadre?
Yes.
And you said yes. So I used
actually, I said I love their cream eggs. And then I said, oh, no, wait, that's Cadbury. That's a whole other
there
thing.
There are no straight men anywhere within sight at this point. Everybody's a comic. Right?
I beg your pardon. I have a child.
It is
8 minutes after the hour. It is 8 minutes after the hour. And things are already out of control. It did not take as long. Give us a call. You know the number. 222-1180. 295-1180 for the Choice One communication line. That's an 800 number. And, of course, Verizon Wireless customers, star 1180.
Before that, we should wish all mothers out there a happy Mother's Day.
I wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day, and I wish all the geeks who are listening had remembered that it was Mother's Day so they weren't in the doghouse.
Or they're in deep doo-doo.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I'm in bad enough trouble for coming here.
Yeah. With us.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, well, I see what you're saying.
Well, she said, if anyone else took Mother's Day off, you're in worse trouble.
No, we're all here. We're all here. Well, Nick, Dave, Steve, yeah. Rob, Glenn, we're all here.
Well, her daughter took her out to breakfast, so I'm okay. I'm not going to breakfast, so I'll go to the show.
There you go. Why not?
Well, that's quality time she can spend with her daughter.
And and you made that possible. Mm-hmm. You facilitated that. Yeah. I think that's very sweet of you. All right.
Step aside, so, you know. Hey, time with their daughter.
Yeah, which definition of cadre are we? Definition 3 is a cell of indoctrinated leaders active in promoting the issues of a revolutionary party.
That's us.
That's us.
Hey.
Viva la revolution.
Yeah.
All right, on Thursday, a bill that could save internet radio was submitted to Congress. The bill, the Internet Radio Equality Act, would stop a new royalty scheme that internet broadcasters say will shut them down because it will cost them too much money. It's a bipartisan bill. U.S. Representatives Jay Inslee, Democrat of Washington, and John Manzullo, a Republican of Illinois, filed the legislation on Thursday. The bill reverses a recent decision of the Federal Copyright Royalty Board to nearly triple the amount of royalties internet radio broadcasters pay to copyright holders for playing a song. The Copyright Royalty Board earlier this month approved a rule that would force commercial internet radio stations, regardless of their size, to pay a new, higher flat fee to the record labels each time a song is played. Royalty rates for webcasters, starting retroactively at 0.0008 cents per song in 2006, will climb to 0.0019 cents per song in 2010.
Now, that doesn't sound like a lot until you multiply how many songs per hour and how many hours per day.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like much, but it can pay, it can cost thousands and thousands of dollars a month. The Inslee-Manzullo Internet Radio Equality Act would vacate the CRB's March 2 decision and proposes net radio stations continue to pay a percentage, 7.5% of revenues through 2010. Alternately, the bill would allow broadcasters to choose to pay 33 cents per hour of sound recordings transmitted to a single user. That's a far cry from the estimated 60% of revenue that some web broadcasters say they'd have to pay under the Copyright Royalty Board plan. The bill faces approval and vote in the House of Representatives, but of course the bill must also pass a Senate vote before it could be signed into law.
And this is an election year coming up, so it's about the only time the voice of the people can actually be heard because they want your votes.
That's exactly right. So write to your Congress individual and tell him or her that you absolutely hate the CRB's Copyright Royalty Board's ruling, and that you would like to see the Inslee-Manzullo Internet Equality Bill passed.
And I posted the link for SaveNetRadio.org, which lists phone numbers and the ability to call your senators and representatives.
Good.
And basically what the problem is. And they have a little countdown clock going. It's 62 days, 12 hours, 47 minutes, and 18 seconds until this new law takes effect and internet radio is destroyed.
That's exactly it. Now, if we were actually broadcasting old shows, we would not have a problem. A, we don't do music, and B, we own the content.
Right.
Right? We created the content. Right. So that isn't a problem. But for those people who are actually playing music copyrighted by someone else, that's where you've got a problem. All right, we're going to go quickly to the phones. And our first caller is Patty in Webster. Welcome, Patty. What's your question?
Oh, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I wish I could say good. It's Mother's Day, and I go to my computer. This is the first time in all the years I've had it. My computer said something about, it must have downloaded, I don't know. There was something on there that said I may lose stuff. But right now on the screen, I've got whatever it says, unlock your computer. It says this computer is used and has been locked. And there's no one else in the house to do this. So I've got the name, but I don't know my password.
Have you tried turning it off and turning it back on?
Well, that's not a good thing to start with.
I would first, since you've never had nor have you ever put a password in, I would first try turning it off, turning it back on.
Well, have you just tried hitting OK to see if there's an empty password?
Yeah, just hit enter.
Hit oh. Because it's got username and password, and I've tried different numbers, and there's an OK.
Right, yeah, leave the password field empty and just hit OK.
Is this on Windows?
Oh, my God.
There you go.
That worked. Because
oh
it is possible in your screensaver settings to turn on a password. So when it wakes from the screensaver, it asks for a password, which is to keep people around you from your computer.
It's also very possible that she had an update.
An update, most
right.
likely.
And
did
then
that.
It rebooted the machine, and that left her in a locked state.
Yeah.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah.
So since you don't have a password, just hitting OK with an empty password field gets you in.
I just did that, and guess what? It brought me to where I had left it.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. You win.
You can go in the control panel.
I'm getting something popping up here.
You may want to put a password on your computer to prevent other people from breaking in as easy, though.
Well, I'm guessing there is one. I had Dave there and Ryan. My computer up, so I'm sure he's got a secret password. And
No,
I never put passwords on people's machines
unless they ask us to.
Unless they ask you, and I would have had you write it down.
But we strongly recommend it as a security precaution.
Yes, if you've got other folks in the house and you don't want other people getting
right.
On,
if you're alone, if it's just your house and it's just you, then it's not a big deal. But if there are others, you should always have a username and password so that when you log in, you're secure that your stuff is yours. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you in the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. It's 15 minutes after the hour. We're at 1180 WHAM.
Call Wham now at
Expect to improve.
So proud to be on...
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 20 minutes after the hour, you're listening to the Mother's Day edition of Soundbites. Have you got a whole list of mother songs?
You know, no, I got nothing. I'm not able to find a lot of stuff.
There's probably stuff in there you can't play on the radio.
Well, I was going to say.
Yeah, today we're using mother as an entire word.
Yep. One word only.
One word only. That's exactly right. Not half a word. All right, a blue chip lineup investors has invested $45 million in internet TV provider Joost, J-O-O-S-T. Joost said the investors have been selected, which indicates that Joost had little problem picking eager investors in the company, which was started by Skype Technologies founders Janos Fries and Niklaus Zennerström. The five selected parties... Pardon?
Gesundheit.
Thank you. The five selected parties investing in Joost are CBS, Global Expansion Index Ventures, Kila Shing Foundation, Sequoia Capital, and Viacom. So CBS and Viacom are both investing in an internet TV provider, which is pretty interesting. The free TV service, which Joost bills as the world's first broadcast-quality internet television service, is positioned as a competitor to Google's YouTube. Viacom and its CBS affiliate began collaborating with Juiced in February after Viacom's attempt to work with Google failed. We carefully selected these investors from a variety of interested parties, blah, 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 blah. But the big deal here is it's more internet television. And according to the folks at Juiced, they're not YouTube. They're not little tiny pictures that are blurry and grainy and jittery. They're saying that their stuff is going to be broadcast quality. So it'll be interesting to see what Juiced has proposed and what it comes out with. If you go to the site now, joost.com, you get a chance, I guess, to join their beta.
A countdown to when it's released.
Yeah, it's a countdown to when it's released.
One of the major difference between them and YouTube is they started out as a commercial entity trying to attract commercial content providers.
Right.
And starting to be making contracts with the video providers rather than YouTube, just a place to share videos.
Right. But apparently they've got more bandwidth and the file sizes, I mean, the files themselves will be, the videos will be larger and a lot less grainy. So that would be kind
of
nice.
See, one of the nice things about YouTube always was that you could find the video you were looking for. Yeah. Most of the news networks and TV show networks and things like that, they'll have video clips on their own website, but you have to go to a dozen different websites if you want to find, you know, a dozen different videos, and that's
right.
Annoying.
Right, right. So this way we'll see if they how they manage that. It's a pretty interesting idea. Maybe we'll see internet only soap operas.
Well, we're seeing a lot of that now in podcasting.
Right,
a video podcast. They can do really high quality work, and you know, a 20-minute video is only 300 or 400 megs, even in HD.
Right.
And so, you know, we're seeing anyone can now have their own TV station. Basically, right. It's kind of neat.
It is. All right, our next caller, Bob from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Good day, gentlemen. How are you today?
Peachy. How are you?
Just ducky.
There you go.
All right. I have the question of the day for you, folks.
Uh-oh,
put your bacon caps on. It's a tough one. I went to boot up my computer. It's a laptop. It's an Inspiron 8600. And I get this white screen. And I'll just start telling you what it states on it, and then you can stop me when you want. It indicates it says a hard disk, and then it has a pound sign, a series of asterisks, 595B. The system primary HDD is protected by a password authentication system. You cannot access data on this hard drive without the correct password. Please type the hard drive password and press enter.
Somebody enabled a hardware password on your hard drive.
Yeah. There is a hardware password in the BIOS. If you turn your machine on, and I think in an Inspiron it's F2,
mm-hmm.
Keep tapping F2, eventually you get to the BIOS, and you can set passwords there. Which you have to type in a password before you get to the BIOS, before the hard drive will boot, which is the one you're looking at. And so what it looks like is somebody set that. Now, do other people have access to this machine?
No.
You're sure of that?
I am positive. I'm the only one with the machine.
Then what's likely happened is some sort of static or something has
triggered a password.
Has triggered it accidentally, yeah.
All right. Now, I just recently had secured Roadrunner.
Now, it won't do anything.
Okay.
Well, they have their own security suite, but it shouldn't enable
BIOS. Not BIOS. Not that low. Unless you can find through the manual how to clear the CMOS battery and its settings, if they let you get that low in doing it. In other words, quite often, what it does is it doesn't erase anything on the hard drive, but anything like passwords and all that type of stuff would be cleared out, and any settings that you had set in the BIOS to boot in a certain order, it would go all the way back to manufacturer defaults. So that's what you're looking to do. If you can find anything in the manual, otherwise you're looking at taking it to a shop and having them reset the BIOS.
Okay, and there's something I can do on my own?
You can check.
It's harder on a laptop. With desktops, there's usually jumpers on the inside.
Many of the manufacturers have you, literally, you got to break the machine down to take out the CMOS battery, let it set for a few hours to clear it out, And
but
then
that will void any warranty you have in that machine.
Well, I don't have any warranties left on it anyway.
Well,
so,
give that a try then.
I say if you feel comfortable doing that, otherwise, take it to a repair shop and have them do it.
Or call Dell and see what they say.
No, right. they want to charge a fortune, which is like, they forget it. So, all right, I heard you mention something about taking the battery out for a period of time.
The internal CMOS battery, not CMOS, the external backup, the external main battery.
Yeah, you have to actually break the case open, find the CMOS battery, take it out without damaging the motherboard, then wait whatever the amount of time is, get it back in without damaging the motherboard, put the entire case back together again, including getting all the
little
connectors
screws.
In and all the little screws in, and then you're good to go. Or you can bring it to a dealer like Dave or Steve, and they'll do that part for you.
Okay, and Dave and or Steve, where are you located? Because I prefer going to you folks.
Yeah, I thought you might.
I'm at 70 Empire Boulevard, just a half a mile up from Dan's Crafts.
That was Dave.
And I'm at 7716 Victor Menden Road in Victor.
And that was Steve.
Just off of 96.
It's Enright PC Management or MacAv or the Jesse Group or what are you this week?
Well, MacAv is our retail store.
Oh, there you go.
Cool.
Okie doke.
Alrighty, gentlemen. Have a great day.
I am seeing things on the internet, just Googling hard drive password, and some people are saying that they have ways to reset the password. So that's something possible to do as well.
Yeah.
Someone else who's already figured it out might be able to do
yeah,
it without,
but this is probably
without
the easiest
taking
way to
the computer
do
apart. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. In the meantime, the mighty Glenn Lamberts will be in with his mellifluous tones to give you the news, the weather, the sports, all the real reasons that you listen to Wham. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob, Can't Find a Mother Song, Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every... Are you don't give me that face!
He can find some, but just something that he can't put on the air.
Right, he's got to find something he can put on the air is exactly where he's at.
I mean...
We'll be back. If you're on the line, stay on the line. If you're not on the line, why not? We do have a couple of lines open. Remember, it's Mother's Day, so... Sit your mother down next to the radio, and the two of you can listen together. We'll be back. It's 28 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Join me, Carl.
Sounding even better in HD. High definition radio is on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm David Wright.
I'm Steve Wright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 33 minutes after the hour, send in the clones, because here we are. We knew that was coming.
The clones of what, though, is what I want to know.
Yeah, right.
It's the only word we could think of. We're in here saying, God, what rhymes with drones? What rhymes with drones? And clones is the only thing Rob could come up with.
Oh, okay. Blame it on me.
That's right.
Oh, it's
all
Rob's
right.
fault.
Yeah.
No, you guys are not clones. As a matter of fact, if there ever were not clones, it's you three.
They're all original.
Right. The mold was broken on all three of you.
Were unique.
Possibly before we were hatched. Absolutely. There's no question of that. For all you game-playing geeks out there, Microsoft gave a sneak peek at its Halo 3 game on Friday, presumably the final chapter of the fast-paced shooter trilogy that the software giant is banking on to help it fend off competition from Sony and Nintendo. Gamers at the invitation-only preview gave mixed reviews. Microsoft staged previews in New York and San Francisco on Friday in advance of the public test or beta of the game, which goes live next Wednesday. A public beta is unusual for a console game, and the Halo 3 one from Microsoft's Xbox 360 is being closely watched by gamers eager to know how the title looks and plays and whether it will live up to the buzz. The game once again puts players in control of Master Chief, a futuristic soldier trying to save humanity from an alien coalition known as the Covenant.
We were playing along in Halo 1, and we're fighting the Covenant, and all of a sudden the Horde shows up. What do you mean there's two bad guys?
Yeah, right. To make things more realistic, finally, game player Bungie Studios made the movements in Halo 3 more closely follow the laws of real-world physics. The problem that I have with most of these things is they don't feel right. When people jump, they don't land right. They don't, you know, things don't bounce right. Yeah. It's just... hopefully they'll be a little closer to it.
That's the difference between a simulation and a game.
To me, if you want to make the game realistic, make it realistic.
Yeah.
But at any rate, the thing is that they've put it out. So far, it is still a beta. They're saying that the graphics are not very good yet and gameplay isn't terrific yet, but it's they're expecting it to be fantastic. So those of you who are all about the Halo, there's your choice. Here it comes. Version 3. Back to the phones now. Our next caller is Ed from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Ed. What's your question?
Hi, how are you today?
Peachy, how are you?
Doing good. I have a friend who purchased a, it's a guy at work, purchased a...
yeah, friend.
He had a garage sale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it needed new OS put on it. It's licensed for Windows XP. And I had a CD that I used to upgrade my Windows 98 to XP Home Edition. Everything went fine reformatting and installing until I had to plug in the license number.
Right.
You're right.
At that point, it tells me it's an invalid license.
The license number that comes with a computer is an OEM license. And the license number for your disk is an upgrade license, and you can't do that.
Right. Yeah. Here's the deal. First, you can't share anyway.
Right.
Not according to Microsoft's license. That's illegal. So he needs to buy his own copy of the operating system. Now, he doesn't have to buy Windows. If he would rather try Linux, that's free. But if he's going to use Windows, he's got to buy his own copy.
Is it a name brand computer?
Well, it's a UPont, one of those little ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it was like a Dell or a Compaq, you can often call them and buy the original disk set from them. But in this case, yeah, you'll need to buy a new copy of Windows.
Just you can go on the internet and shop around, some good pricing there. And you need the full version.
Yeah, not the upgrade. He's got to buy the full version.
Because if the system has been wiped out, in other words, he purchased it and has no previous Windows operating system, then, yeah, he's got to get the full-blown version.
Yeah, see, that makes it really, really annoying, even in service. You probably run into it, too. Someone can't find their Windows disks. I really like it that now most of the companies put the serial number on the computer, but you still have to find the exact disk. Is it an OEM XP1, you know, OEM SP2, you know, an upgrade? You know, it's still annoying. And you tell the customers, we need to find your disks. Well, I don't know where they are. Well, then we have to buy new ones, so I don't want to do that. Well, then you can't have your computer fixed.
Right, right. It is a problem that you do not... We've said this before, you do not own Windows, you rent it, and the terms of the rental are pretty stringent.
So I guess, you know, to everyone out there, whenever you buy a computer, make sure you remember where the disks are. Put the disks in a safe place and maybe tape them to the computer. Some of the Compaqs used to have a little disk holder in the computer.
Yep.
So you could put your system disks in there.
Right, where they would overheat and melt.
But at least you knew where they were.
Yeah! See that slag heap at the bottom of the pocket there? Yeah, that's my disk. A lot of people nowadays take all that stuff and they put it in a little box and stick it on a shelf somewhere, label it so they know where it is. That's very important.
Anything relative to
the
it?
The other problem is so many computers nowadays from a lot of the bigger brand names are sold without a disk, without a restore disk or a real copy of Windows.
Because it's extra.
Well, it's a hidden partition
on
the hard drive.
It saves 13 cents or whatever.
It's a hidden partition on the hard drive, or the instructions tell you to make your own disks the first thing you do on the computer.
Right.
Yeah. Assuming
anybody actually reads the manual. Right. But yeah, you can burn your own DVD or CD. That's fine. They don't, from that hidden partition, but that's it. That, again, is keyed to that machine, so you can't burn a CD and give it to a buddy, because the same thing will happen. You'll get an invalid license. At one point, Microsoft was saying that if you tried to register a license twice, both of them would become invalid. But I believe they've gone off of that anyway. Yeah.
Now that even as a legal, legitimate owner, you reinstall Windows on your own computer after a problem, you have trouble re-registering it.
Right. Listen, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 39 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
It is 44 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to Soundbites.
Paul Simon.
Why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle of rest of my life?
I'm sorry. I just want to listen to the song.
Sure, I don't have a problem with that. We can wait. We're back with Soundbites, and we have David on the line who's upset with something we just said. What's up, David?
I've rebuilt a few thousand computers here in Rochester, and as long as you have your OEM sticker on the side of the box, you can use any Windows media to reinstall Windows.
Yes, it's not the medium, it's the license.
Right, and license is right there on that little sticker that should be placed by the OEM manufacturer.
Right, you would hope so, certainly.
Right. You have to find then an OEM disk with the same service pack on it. You can't use a retail disk. You can't use an upgrade disk. It has to be an OEM disk because we've tried it and the serial numbers just won't work.
And what that gentleman was talking about was he bought the machine used, it had been wiped, and he was trying to use somebody else's Windows XP to upgrade the machine. Because the original license was for Windows 98.
Yeah, so if he had an OEM version and the other guy had a retail version or whatever that's all about, you're going to have problems. You're absolutely right, David. If you've got the same version, then your license will work.
And it's very hard
to
tell.
I really haven't seen an issue with retail versus OEM, but you're right. SP1 versus, the original thing came out a number of years ago, or SP1 or SP2. Okay, there are some variances, but in retail to OEM, it's the standard disk, as it always has been.
No, the disks are, the installer on the disk is different, and you cannot use an OEM serial number on a retail disk. We've tried doing it when customers have lost their...
Or vice versa.
Right. When they lose their physical disk, the numbers printed on the computer, it doesn't work. You have to have the right disk install as well.
You have to have the right service pack, and you have to have the, whether it's OEM or retail, you have to have that right as well.
I haven't had that issue, and I've rebuilt probably 50 of them in the last 3 years.
Well, congratulations, you win. I mean, that's...
Well, there are enterprise disks that don't matter what serial number you use. Right. Maybe
up to a point.
Yeah.
Well, and a guy's in a reputable shop, as you guys are, I would expect you to have tools of that magnitude. So if somebody did come in, did have their license on the side of their box to get it repaired, you would have the version of the software that...
Yes,
Microsoft will not give us that software. As a Microsoft system builder, they require us to buy every single separate version of Windows that we want to have.
Right. But that's not what was happening in this situation.
Right.
I came in after the game, guys.
Yeah, what happened was this guy, his buddy, bought a used machine at a garage sale.
Old Windows
he tried to install his Windows on it, and it said it's an invalid license.
Yeah.
Because he was trying to go from Windows 98, and he thought he was doing him a favor by putting Windows XP on it.
What's he putting XP on a 98 box for in the first place?
Just so he can slow the guy down. Apparently he doesn't like him all that much.
Some folks just have a lot of free time.
Yeah, exactly. Very well. I missed that whole part. I just came in late, and I heard the part where you had to absolutely have that. And I've had the benefit of working around that several times.
Right. No. This was a specific circumstance, David. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right, our next caller is Dave on a cell phone. Welcome, Dave. What's your question? They're all Dave today.
Well, hey, I've had the same experience right on that same subject of the software, the Windows software and the IDs. I had a box that was wiped when I got it. The hard drive was bad, and it did have the sticker on the side. And I found a little program that was a free download program that allowed me to install a retail version, use the original. Sticker, the serial number on the sticker, and register it with Microsoft, and it all went perfectly.
Well, sure. Like we said, if you get the right version,
what he's saying is he found a program that allowed him to use the wrong version on his serial number, which is likely illegal.
It was an OEM disk that had already been registered, or not an OEM, it was a retail disk that I had already been using on a different computer, but this box had it had a serial number on it for a license, but the hard drive was bad, and I didn't have an original disk with it, so I was able to use this free downloaded software and register it using the legal serial
number.
There's a lot of free downloaded software that allow you to illegally license Windows.
Right. Well, in all likelihood, you didn't even need that. If there had been a retail version on that system already, or if that number was a retail number and your disk was a retail disk, it would have worked anyway.
Well, it didn't, though.
It was an OEM number.
Yeah, it was.
The computer.
It wouldn't accept it. That was why I went looking to see.
There are a lot of, as Steve says, there are a lot of programs that will let you do that. You do need to know it's illegal. But as long as you don't care, I guess I don't care. We got to take a break. Back in just a couple minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 49 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
At 53 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites. All right, kiddies, sit back.
Go get your footy jammies on, grab your little teddy bears, get your hot cup of hot cocoa, and sit in a little semicircle around the floor Indian style. Because if we can slap them awake, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave? Uncle Dave!
Huh?
Uncle Dave!
Huh?
Time for Story Hour, Uncle Dave.
All right. Let me see. Where can I start? Two issues.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Well, it's Mother's Day. I gotta give you two for one.
Sure.
You know, one day, two harder.
Right.
All right. And I'm sure Steve runs into this too. I guess I missed the sign out in front of my shop. Maybe my wife puts it out there and I didn't see it. Anybody else go drive by? Where it says 1 hour service. I'm not photo man.
What are you,
folks,
a dry cleaner? Yeah.
Evidently. It's not drive-through repair. I literally had a client drop a machine off at 10 o'clock and was calling at 3 asking if it was ready yet. Can I come and get my computer? And I felt like saying, yeah, you can come and get it, but it ain't fixed.
Haven't they walked in and seen the shelves and shelves of computers to be repaired?
No, they only see their machine.
Yeah.
They don't see the other, you know, 5 or 6 that it's ahead of them. It's first come, first serve.
And part of the problem we run into is a lot of times customers will ask, well, you know, how much you think it's going to be? Well, it's a couple, you know, 1 or 2 hours of billable time. So they call back in an hour. Is it done yet? Well, no. We haven't got it on the bed. It's probably only going to take us an hour once we get to it next week.
Right, right, right.
I mean,
but you've got stuff to do in between.
We try to turn them around as fast as we can, but it's not photomat, and I won't be rushed.
In fact, I've started tracking. Last week, we brought 22 computers, came into the shop, and I finished 18 of them. So
wow.
I'm sorry for those 3 people that haven't got done yet. But
that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not a bad...
But on that same record.
Well, you know, 4 a day come in, and people call the next morning, is it done yet?
Right.
Yeah.
And then on that same vein, now, and they get upset too, is they'll bring the machine in for repair, and unless you have a special agreement with Microsoft that I'm unaware of, but if you bring me in CDs that, oh, your friend burned you, for I don't care whether it's loading the operating system, Microsoft Office, or any of these other things, that you can clearly tell they're bootleg. In other words, not going off on the vein that, yes, it's a legitimate copy that you can burn to put this and that on it. You know, I'm not talking about that. You've literally... you know, burn these copies or gotten them from friends and want me to install it? The answer is no. And when I tell you then, you know, you got to go and find your original CDs that, you know, and then you're complaining because the machine's not fixed, that's not my problem. If you don't bring me the original stuff to get you back up and running, I can't help you. So, you know, and it doesn't... you know, just because all of a sudden you do go and find them, get them back, that means that, again, it's going to be ready that afternoon. Because you've taken up bench time waiting for, and it can be a day or two.
Yeah, if something stalls and we're waiting for something to happen, we'll take your machine off the bench and put someone else's on.
Somebody else moves in, because when you brought it in, you didn't bring in all the stuff to redo it. And usually my office manager, Sam, she's really good about it. She'll say, bring in all the software, especially... she's gotten to where she can diagnose, you know, what folks should bring in, you know, as far as,
but your system disks are almost a guarantee.
Yeah. And, well, I don't know if I can find it. Well, we'll see what we can do, but we don't guarantee it. And again, they get upset. Well, you didn't bring it back. Well, I had trouble finding them. Well, I'm sorry. You know, like Steve was saying, you know, that's bench space. You got to move it off. It's taking up space. You got to move it onto the
next
one.
People don't get it. It's like if you bring your car somewhere and it doesn't have license plates on it and it doesn't have a sticker and you want them to work on it and you say, well, I need you to you know, register this. They'll say, do you have a license?
Right.
Are you going to be driving this? Do you have to have license plates? If you don't have them, you know, that's a problem for New York State. That's a problem for a legal problem. The same thing is true here. If you don't have the software, you can't run the system. Now, they can fix it.
The difference is they can fix your car because it's just mechanical. You still can't take it out on the road.
Yeah, but they can't drive it to test to make sure that it's working.
Right, and they can't do anything with it that would be illegal. Same thing is here. These guys don't ask these guys to do something illegal. You want to be a thief, that's your business. Don't ask them to do it.
I like the ones that bring their computer in and say the printer, it won't print. Well, where's your printer? Oh, I didn't bring that.
Yeah, right.
Or the same ones that'll sit there and say...
You got a printer, right?
Yeah. I've got their exact model printer, yeah.
Right.
That their friend loaded the software on, so can't you put it back on? No.
No, because I'm not your friend.
Yeah.
I'm working on your computer.
I'm going to jail for.
All right. Yeah, right. I'm not enough of a friend for you to go to jail. We're going to take a break. Glenn Lamberts is back. He's gonna give you the news, views, all the information you really want, the weather, the sports, all the good stuff that you listen to Wham for. On the other side of that, we will be back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, each and every one of you. Dave's already left the room. He got all head up. He's got to go take a quick shower now, and we certainly appreciate that. Back in just a couple of minutes at 59 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Thousand-watt News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm a very disturbed Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 7 minutes after the hour, it's Glenn, that is the most disturbing, yes, indeed, introduction I have ever heard in my entire life.
Undress your computer.
Quite often you have
put
to take
it up
the
on the table. Yeah. You can trust these guys. Their computer. Well,
quite often you do have to take the cover off.
Well, there, see?
All righty.
Oh, come on. You're just feigning this blush stuff.
You're right.
That joke you told me in the coffee room earlier, I think. Now, that'd get us all arrested.
Sure, exactly.
Right.
That was the only kind I remember. All right. Microsoft. Yeah, every week we do a poll. Before we get back to the phones, let's talk a little bit about what happens at our website. It's soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you every week. We do a poll. Last week's poll was about USB drives because there was an article, a news item about viruses that target them. 337 of you voted, making it number 104 on the all-time hit list. 83% of you use a USB drive. 12% of you do not, and 15 of you don't even know what one is. So this week's poll comes from an interesting news item in this week. The XP systems, Windows XP systems are still locking up during patch update attempts, even after users deployed the fix suggested by Microsoft. This is a long-running problem, which the Windows Server Update Services team dubbed the SVC host / MSI issue. Includes 100% CPU usage by SVC host.exe. And it's multiple processes during automatic update scanning, update download, and sometimes even if automatic update is simply enabled on a machine. Of course, the computer is virtually unusable when that happens. Every month at patch time, Microsoft support boards fill up with complaints from users. It was no different this last week. I have 6 and counting computers having issues with SVC host process running at near 100% CPU utilization, said one user on Wednesday, one day after Microsoft unveiled 7 security updates. Disabling automatic updates resolves the issues. What did Microsoft just release? A hotfix updated just this past Thursday is available on the Microsoft support site. The patch will be pushed out via Microsoft's usual update services late this month or in early June. However, the fix can be downloaded and installed manual and XP and Server 2003 systems. So a lot of people are finding that when they do an update, their system locks up because of 100% CPU utilization by a couple of processes. And so the poll this week is, I've had lockups with Windows Update. The choices are, oh, heck yeah, not yet, I don't update, the Macintosh, and the Linux. So far, we have had 80 of you voting, and the majority of you, or rather, yeah, the number one choice here on the list is, oh, heck yeah, 36% of you have had problems, have had lockups updating Windows. Not yet follows that, then the Macintosh, then the Linux, then I don't update. Two of you don't even bother to update. Once you're done with that, you'll see a little yellow box underneath. If you click Give Us Your Opinion, it takes you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
Jeez and crackers. Where you can enter your opinion. Because I know that just clicking on a button is not enough for you long-winded folks. And so you get to enter an opinion fewer than 256 characters. I didn't want to give you a month to write. But it's you can put in a little short answer there, and that'll be kind of fun. While you're there, please check out AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
Ooh, very good. I do a newsletter. There are web forums. I do rants and raves, tips and tricks. All kinds of interesting things. I'd love for you to look around and maybe even feel it's worth the $15 a year that it takes to join. And then come back to the Soundbite site and check out everything that we do there. All right, let's get back to the phones. Our next caller is Bruce from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bruce. What's your question? Bruce? Bruce, are you there? Hello, Bruce.
10 seconds.
10 seconds. Eight, 10 second rule. He's gone. Nine. Next call is Bob on a cell phone. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Yes. Hi, Nick. I appreciate the show you guys do every day.
Thank you so much.
Hey, I've got a PC that has had over a period of a few hours become increasingly unresponsive to any keystrokes. Just doing a hard restart, nothing has happened. And now finally, trying to reboot the whole system from my boot disk doesn't even acknowledge the CD. In the drive, or the DVD, yeah, whatever, the CD in the drive. And now all I have, last thing that actually happened was just a frozen XP logo on my screen, and now all that happens is the fan runs 24/7, and that's it.
Is the fan going on the CPU, though?
Yes, it is, but it just constantly runs with, doesn't shut off.
In other words,
fan or the chassis fan or the hard drive fan?
Yeah.
Oh, that I don't know. I think it's just a big... fans in the back.
No, yeah, that's what you're looking at for the power supply. But this lockup and all that, and I've seen it on a number of machines lately coming into the shop, because it, you know, the house has been closed up for the winter, and, you know, it's quite dusty inside. You pull this side of the case off, mm-hmm. and they're just packed with dust. And I've seen a number of the CPU fans totally frozen. In other words, the fan isn't turning, which means the CPU overheats mm-hmm. and can cause lockups and shutdowns depending on how long it's been running. So you might want to check, shut the machine down, pull the cover off on the side, and then start it up and just watch, you know, put a flashlight in there, shine it in there, and see that all the fans are running
mm-hmm.
because that could be part of your issue.
Because yeah, it'll overheat. Now, you were talking about a service.
Just blow them out. I mean, you know, we could sit there and...
if you have a vacuum cleaner or blower.
Mm-hmm.
See, yeah, now, I've got a hose outside.
Yeah, take it outside to do that.
Yeah, I've mm-hmm. got a hose outside, which here's the key thing. When, you know, if you're going to take... You just can't take it over to your local garage and just blow it out. Any of these units that you're using should have a... inline filter to remove the moisture, because if you think you can just hook it up to your compressor and just blow it out, you could be also spitting moisture in on the components and short things out. So that's why at our shop we've got an inline filter
nice
that takes the moisture out of the air, even though it's going through the compressor, and it takes us, you know, a few minutes. But man, the dust cloud that I can create on some of these machines.
Oh, I bet
it's unbelievable.
Well, I should bring mine in because it's been locked up all winter. I have two dogs, I have two cats, and I have me, and we all shed.
Yeah. So So, all right, yeah,
so that's something to start with to see if it's just the computer was overheating because one of the fans isn't working, especially the CPU fan. You know, the chassis fan can almost die and the computer works okay, mm-hmm. but the CPU fan is most critical.
Right. We also find that at this time of year, people who've got their computer sitting in the sunlight, it'll start to overheat.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's important to be careful of those things. All right, our next caller, Judy from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Judy. What's your question?
Well, I have an unusual problem. I think my laptop kind of, the corner of it hit the floor. And now when I type the top row letters, if I type one letter, then the number above it comes next to it. And if I type a number, then the letter below it comes next to it. So there's obviously something wrong with the keyboard, I guess.
It sounds like you've got the, there's a way to lock the FN function. In other words, you'll notice... and some of the keyboards, that if you hit the FN key, which is, say, a blue, underneath the keys on a laptop, they have other letters that are in blue. So, that, in other words, that if you hit the FN key and do this, it does a different function than what the normal keyboard does.
And, FN?
Well,
I do?
Well, hold on a second. If you hit a Q, does a 1 appear?
Yeah, the number above it appears next to it.
Yeah, see, that wouldn't be the lock. So, no, yeah, it sounds like... So you're saying that someone, and we won't mention who, dropped your laptop.
No, we won't mention who.
All right, but someone dropped... Yeah, she said it may be that the laptop hit the floor. Oh, maybe, huh?
My dog did it.
yes, of course. We always blame the animals. The pets always are the ones who did it. It does sound like there's a problem with the keyboard itself. If you hit any one of those top letters and the number above it appears, you hit any one of those top numbers and the letter below it appears.
You know, one thing I can say safely didn't cause the problem?
What?
Was the fall.
Right, it's the deceleration that does it.
It's the sudden impact of meeting with the ground that did it. But that distance in between?
That fall didn't do a thing?
Didn't hurt it one bit.
It's like the guy who fell off the top of the Empire State Building as he passed the 20th floor. Somebody yelled out the window, "How you doing?" He said, "So far, so good." Yeah, exactly.
If you're really lucky, the keyboard cable has just wiggled itself loose.
Yeah.
If you're not very lucky, it's the keyboard will need replaced, and if you're very unlucky, motherboard might need to be replaced.
Yeah, even so, even a laptop has a little ribbon cable that goes from the keyboard to the motherboard.
Oh, I see.
It's short, but it's there.
Yeah, you got to take it apart and
you're
going
to have to take it to someone. If it's under warranty, take it to a warranty dealership. If not,
don't mention anything about it being dropped because that will void the warranty.
Yep, absolutely.
No, I don't have a warranty. Can I take it to you? Where are you located?
I'm at 70 Empire Boulevard.
Okay.
It's called NRPC, and we're open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. On weekends, you got to call. And if my wife is nice enough, she'll answer the phone and for drop-offs and pickups.
So you think it can be fixed, though?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it can be fixed. Yeah. The big question is how much.
We've done it.
You're right.
We've had a couple of your laptop with it that burned up. It could be fixed, and the fix is
$2,000. Yeah, if you want to see a really messed up laptop, go to my website, nrightpc.com, and I've got a laptop there. You want to talk about being messed up, but I was still able to get the data off of it. It was pretty cool.
Yep. All right, listen, we are going to take a break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Lint, and me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
To 8,000 for weather 24/7 from 1180 WHAM.
I was already getting into the journey, and then you go to this?
Yeah, you go to Bee Gees? What, you sick?
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
Hey, if you don't like it, come in here and run the board.
Well,
is
it the Bee Gees, or is it John Travolta?
Both are not a good picture.
Here's the deal. You apparently didn't listen to my stuff this week. I'm also the entertainment reporter.
Wait a minute. What stuff are you talking about?
The entertainment reports for Wham.
At 5 a.m.?
Yeah.
You think I'm up that early?
No. I don't think I'm up that early.
Still up that early, maybe.
Yeah, right. This week, I was complaining about the fact that on American Idol, I had to sit through Stayin' Alive not once, but twice.
Well, you know what they have on the weekends now, though, don't you? They have American Idol Rewind.
Yeah.
It's like seeing the show once during the week isn't enough.
Yeah.
That show, it's
more than enough for me, thanks.
You'd think the American Idol people would have coordinated that so that they didn't have someone doing the same song.
No. They played it for, Lakeisha sang it, and then when she got voted off, she sang it again at the end of the night. So I actually had to sit through it twice.
So it was,
that's twice more than I really care to hear it in a week. And now this guy
has
to play it again on Sunday.
It was so bad the first time she got voted off, so she sang it again?
Yes, apparently, yes. Oh, here we go. Thank you.
Actually, you know what? Who did you say sang it again?
Lakeisha.
Oh, you don't have it, do you?
Oh, I do.
Oh.
You have Lakeisha singing it?
I have to look. They have a bunch of them in here.
What was interesting, though, is American Idol is doing some exclusive iTunes tracks that you can only buy from iTunes. Yeah. And I forget who it was, but someone debuted on the Billboard Top 10 chart.
Yeah.
From an iTunes exclusive.
Yeah.
You know, there's the power of iTunes.
Yeah.
We only have Juanita, whoever that is. Maybe from another season.
Must be from like six seasons
ago.
Yeah,
I know. I don't know.
Well, there was also the Grease, You're the One That I Want competition. We're trying to win a spot. And
there was
Grease,
a Rochesterian
in that for a while, yeah. Well, Larry the Cable Guy had an interesting...
I doubt
talk
that.
About that. Well, no, he was talking about The Apprentice, but all these specific, you know, game shows. You go on a game show, and the first prize is a job.
Yeah.
That's a stupid-ass game show.
Yeah, right.
Really stupid.
Well, Kelly Clarkson, who was a winner, you know, last year, the year before, her album just got canceled. The one that they were going to put out for her.
It really did?
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, because the radio executive said it was just crap. apparently somebody suddenly woke up and realized that really what she is, she's a woman who won a game show.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't necessarily entitle her to anything. All right, look, hackers have hijacked the Windows Update downloader. They're using the file transfer component in Windows Update to sneak malware past firewalls. It's the Background Intelligent Transfer Service, or BITS, which is used by Microsoft's operating systems to deliver patches via Windows Update. BITS, which debuted in Windows XP and is baked into Windows Server 2003 and Windows Vista, is an asynchronous file transfer service with automatic throttling so downloads don't impact other network chores. It automatically resumes if the connection is broken. It's a very nice component, and if you consider that it supports HTTP and can be programmed via COM API, it's the perfect tool to make Windows download anything you want, including malicious files. Microsoft seems to have absolutely no response to this at this time. So those of you who are indeed using Windows as your main system should know that Microsoft has opened a big gaping hole into your machine and has no response as to what to do about that. We're back to the phones, and our next caller is Roland from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Roland. What's your question?
How you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
All right. I haven't listened to your show in about 3-4 years.
Well, thanks for calling, Roland.
Thank you. hey, but Barry Gibbs, he's sitting on his 110-foot yacht off the coast of Monaco, and you're in the studio today. So can we?
Yeah, clearly I'm doing something wrong. He's got his finger on the pulse of America, and I'm sitting in his studio.
Yeah.
You're right.
All right. I'm sitting here baking a banana cream pie for Mother's Day and listening to you guys, so that tells me.
Very nice.
And
you're not going to toss that pie,
what time
are
should
you?
We be there?
No, not
all
yet.
Right, all right.
But maybe I'll bring a piece over if there's anything left.
There you go.
Macintosh.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm looking to buy one. I'm making the big debate between a PC and a Mac. And I just heard the ad for Frontier that Dave did. And in the ads, actually, when you get the flyers, it said software is not available for Macintosh. And I'm wondering, you know, all my friends that have Macs, they're all on Roadrunner rather than Frontier. And is that a big deal, number one? What software are they
talking
about?
It's the same. It's the same issue with Roadrunner, too. Both Roadrunner and Frontier give PCs free antivirus, anti-spyware, anti-spam software. And I hate the way these commercials are worded. The software is not available for the Mac, one, because you don't really need
Mac.
Yeah,
you don't need it.
You do.
Well, yeah, you need an antivirus. You need an on your Mac, but there are several free antivirus programs.
The software that they're talking about is not software to connect to the internet.
Uh-huh. It's EasyTrust.
I have DSL. My Windows boxes, my Macintosh, and my Linux boxes all connect with no problem. problem.
Yeah, the internet was designed with Unix anyway, so it's the fact that Windows works is a hack.
Right, exactly. So what they're talking about is the antivirus, the anti-spyware stuff that you can download for free from them. That software is not available for the Mac or for Linux. But then again, there are other free products that are.
Yep.
So it's not a loss in any way, and it doesn't prevent you from connecting to the internet using DSL. In fact, DSL is a great way to connect to the internet, but you can't. You just can't get their free antivirus stuff.
All right. Now, the next part is you have the one-year versus a two-year sign-up period.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that the prices have been coming down year after year. It was $45.99 a year, and then it was $39 and $29, and I've actually seen some for $14.99. So why would you want to sign up for 2 years rather than 1 year when it looks like the rates just keep coming down, down, down?
In case the rates go up.
Yeah.
And that's how, I forget who, but that's how one of them is advertising it now. We'll lock in your low rate now, so in case the rates go up.
The big question is what tariffs will be imposed by Congress?
So you're taking a, you know, is Russian roulette.
Right. You pay your money and you take your chance.
Mm-hmm.
There are always bills in Congress to raise the tariff rates for stuff like this.
If they can get more money out of you, hey, don't you think they're going? Yep. I mean, they can
they have not gone through.
Uh-huh.
That does not mean they won't in future. So the question is, do you want to gamble? And it's a gamble one way or the other. You just have to pick your gamble.
Well, it's just like they've raised the taxes and that so much on cigarettes that they know they can't do much more there because so many folks are quitting smoking. So now they're going to have to find something else that's huge and being used by quite a few folks. Oh, the internet.
Yep.
There's a whole nother revenue that they could sit there and add, you know, surcharges, and they don't call them taxes, they call them surcharges, and everything else on these cable companies to pass it on to you.
The real annoying thing is that, on average, nationwide, Rochester is among the slowest connection speed and the highest price of other cities. I've got friends in Syracuse that are talking about the Fios, the fiber they're getting from Verizon, and they get, 10 megabit up and 50 megabit down for $20 a month.
Yep.
So it's 10 times faster and half the price that we have here in Rochester.
But how many service providers do you have there versus here? You have what, Time Warner and you have Frontier, and that's it. No?
Right, two here. And then, you know, Syracuse Verizon is the big provider there. I don't know if Frontier or Time Warner are out there too, but... So it's theoretically, with competition, you'll get better rates and faster service. But it's weird. In other cities, we're seeing, you know, better rates than we get here.
Right.
Oh, Detroit has great rates, but then they also have three competing providers.
Yeah.
So, you know. All right.
There's national companies like Earthlink. You can get Earthlink DSL, and they resell Frontier. Or you can get Earthlink Cable, and they resell Time Warner. And the big kick I get about it is you sign up with Earthlink, and you get this letter saying, for your convenience sake, we'll include our costs on your Time Warner bill.
Right.
So Time Warner bills you anyway. So the only difference is you get an Earthlink address.
Right.
Okay, guys. I really appreciate the help.
All right. Sure. Thanks, Roland. Our next caller is Bob from Churchville, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
I have a Contech Presario 6000. It's about 4.5 years old. I've never had a problem with it. And then one night it wouldn't shut off. It wouldn't shut off. I left it on all night. And the next day I ran it all day, ran perfect. Next night it wouldn't shut off, So I finally just hit the terminal switch strip. And it just, next morning it was just black screen with the white letters on it and do this, do that. And nothing worked. My son's pretty good at computers, but he lives in another state. We tried to get it going and nothing would happen. So he sent me another 80 gig hard drive. I put that in, transferred everything over. I got it started up all right. But my question is, I have thousands of bookmarks in AOL, Explorer, and Netscape for scientific sites, research, etc. And I don't want to risk losing them, or have I lost them already? I mean, if you know what.
Well, it depends on what happened to the old computer, what those black screen with white letters said. That would tell you what was wrong and how you could have fixed it.
Well, so, we tried for like 3 days. He called me long distance.
Will the laptop hard drive still boot up?
Not a laptop, it's a desktop, right?
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Yes, it's both of them now. I can, once I got the new hard drive running, I got now one says C drive, one says F drive, a slave, I guess they call it.
Yeah.
And everything seems to be on there, but I don't want to risk, you know, I don't want to download AOL again and all that, risking I'm going to lose all my old bookmarks. And I'm just wondering.
wondering if...
Well, AOL, well, nothing that stores you do, them up on AOL, doesn't it?
Yeah, AOL's bookmarks are stored by AOL, not on your computer.
Oh, okay.
The Netscape...
Nothing you do on the main hard drive will affect the other hard drive.
Right.
So what you need to do is find where those bookmarks are stored on old hard drive and import them into your new browsers.
Okay, and... Well, this is what I'm asking. If I... Then I can basically start up AOL again and Netscape, and I won't risk losing the old bookmarks. And I mean, I'm like...
No, they're on the old hard drive, yeah. So there's nothing the new hard drive will do to the old
hard
drive.
As long as you ghost, if you had you ghost the, say, the F drive to the C drive, anything
well,
and everything...
That's a different question. Did you copy everything from the old hard drive to the new hard drive,
did you set
the new hard drive up brand new?
No, I started it up brand new, and then I've been moving stuff over one thing at a time, and deleting stuff. But
right, the same thing. You want to move your bookmarks from the old hard drive to the new hard drive.
But I don't have a clue where is there. I mean, not to sound stupid, but
all right. Here's
well,
the clue.
That's the problem. Wait, which browser were you using?
On Netscape. What you got to do is see where it's storing your current, bookmarks and all that.
Yes.
And what you do is then go to the F drive, because that's the old hard drive, and look in that same path, because that same path exists.
Is this Windows XP?
Yes.
Netscape's is called what? Bookmarks.html, and
right.
Internet Explorer's is called favorites.html. So if you search your hard drive, you'll find those.
Oh, okay, yeah. I just didn't want to risk losing everything, because, boy, it took years to get...
You won't lose anything unless you erase it.
Right.
Right.
So
okay.
You can look for where they store them on your C drive, your current C drive, and then look in that same exact location on the F drive.
Good idea. Good idea. Boy, you guys saved the day again.
Huh?
Great
what
job.
We're here for.
Hey, thanks. And I love your Paris Hilton updates in the morning.
Thank you very much.
See, a lot of people use a new hard drive as an excuse to clean out their bookmarks. They don't want all their old bookmarks anymore.
Right. Yeah.
Right. But you find them in the one place, put them in the other place, and you're good to go. All right, our next caller is Bob from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
We're having a lot of guys calling named Bob.
Must yeah, I know. You're the 2123. You're the fourth one.
My question is, I spent at least 6 hours on the phone over the last couple of days with Dell Tech Support trying to troubleshoot this problem, and their end result is reinstall Vista Business, and I don't really want to go there. The problem is, once I installed Vista Business, and maybe someone out there is aware of this problem, but with Vista Business, I'm unable to burn DVDs. And the process I've used so far to troubleshoot this is basically I swapped out the DVD drive, same problem. I've used another burning software tool, Roxy, same issue.
Yep.
And I've used Nero, and it's got a different error message.
Was this an upgraded Vista, or did Vista come on the computer?
No. It's upgraded. What I did was I booted from the DVD and did a clean install.
Right. So you have to look through the compatibility notes on all of your hardware and all of your software. It's likely your DVD burner is not compatible with Vista and needs an upgrade, and your DVD burning software is not compatible with Vista and needs an upgrade. And those upgrades may not be available yet.
Roxy's telling me it's compatible with Vista. Nero's saying it's compatible with Vista. And Dell's telling me my OptiArc AD5540 NEC/Sony DVD drive is compatible, and there's no firmware update because it is updated.
Right. The actual device could be, but the burning software may not be.
And Windows can't burn. When Windows tries to burn it through Vista Business, Windows can't burn it either.
Are you sure you're using the latest driver software?
Yeah, there's Dell says that the driver software for my OptiArc AD5540 device is there is no update firmware, and Rapture told me there's no update firmware. Dell told me there's no. Everyone's telling.
Well,
me
that
no
doesn't mean it's compatible. That means there's no update available. That may mean it's not compatible and there's no update available.
Because they just put those in as of last August of last year. They started putting those in their Dell computers.
That doesn't mean anything.
All right.
It really doesn't. It doesn't. If they did not specifically say the words, it is compatible with Vista.
A lot of stuff still is out there that is not and won't be for a while.
Yeah, the term there's no upgrade doesn't mean it's compatible. It means there's no upgrade.
According to Roxio, you need Easy Media Creator Suite 9, which
that's
is certified for Vista. Okay.
That's what
Hmm.
Stay on the line, Bob. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you at 39 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Call Wham now at 222-1180.
What if I told you it was all meant?
Welcome back, everybody.
You guys missed the joke totally.
I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton. That's Kelly Clarkson, American Idol. Hello.
Yeah.
No, you didn't know that.
No, I didn't know that. I didn't watch that whole. No, I don't care.
Never mind.
44 minutes after the hour, it's Sound Bites, and we're talking with Bob. Now, Bob, first question. Did burning used to work?
Under XP, yes.
Okay. Now, next question. This is a retail version of Vista. It's not a it's not a beta version.
No, it's OEM right from Dell.
Okay, next question. The Nero software you have, which version is it?
I didn't go out and buy it. I tried the free download trial.
Here's the deal. The only version of Nero that works with Vista is Nero 7 Premium Reloaded.
Okay.
No other version works with Vista.
But Roxio should. Oh, so Roxio wouldn't work because I got the Easy Creator Meter, Creator 9 Suite.
Right.
And it doesn't work.
Right. The only version that works is Nero 7 Premium Reloaded.
All right, I'll go buy that then because I need to burn DVDs and Windows can't burn because when Windows Vista Business tries to burn, it says Windows is unable to format the disk.
Hey, Bob, one question for you.
Yeah.
What compelled you to go from XP to Vista? Too much free time?
Yeah.
No, I wanted to get on the train.
I'm sure, we could have found something mm-hmm. else for
the
you to do.
The train is still sitting in the station right. While they load coal, son.
Well,
so
now, the irony we were talking about off the air is I'm Googling, Vista Business can't burn DVDs, and almost every other response is, does anything work in Vista? This doesn't work, this doesn't work, this doesn't work. Does anything really work in Vista?
I can't tell you the number of companies that have said, I can't tell you the number of companies that are saying, we're not upgrading yet because nothing works.
Well, one thing, if Bob's got that much free time, I got some healthy stuff that I could have him do outside in my yard.
I need some windows washed. Yeah, Bob, as long as you got the free time.
Give you good exercise. And,
but write down, because Roxio has as many, or rather, Nero has as many versions as Vista does. The one you need is Nero 7 Premium Reloaded.
All right, I'll go purchase that because Dell's last answer was, they said, look, they said the only suggestion we have is for you to go out there and when you reinstall Vista Business, delete all the partitions this time instead of booting from the DVD only. Delete all your partitions, C drive partition, DVD partition, all the partitions, load it then, and then maybe you won't have any.
No, they're reading from a cookbook.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but that is... a correct answer. You won't have any problems then because you got an empty hard drive.
Yeah, but it doesn't state that it clearly will fix it.
Yeah.
All they're doing is getting you off the phone because they've hit the final chapter in their book that tells you this, this, and this. Oh, well, then wipe the machine. No, that's not a legitimate answer. And I hate that when they tell folks to do that.
Yeah, but try this first before you go about doing any of that stuff. Our next caller is Mike from Victor, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Well, I got a comment and a question.
Sure.
I heard you say pop the shell a couple times to get inside of the computer. You probably, I don't know if you advise people not to do that on a carpet in regards to static electricity and whatnot. You can
Right.
Totally.
Well, see, normally, but here's the key, though.
I always believe that people should compute naked in a room without
there
a rug.
You go.
But even if they're on the carpet and they shut it off by just touching the case.
Yep.
As long as you got it plugged in.
See, that's the
grounded.
Tricky part. If you leave you should leave the computer plugged in so it stays grounded. But then there's all that shock hazard of sticking your hands inside.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but no. Usually, if you touch that metal case, you're going to wind up grounding
yourself. It's not to protect you; it's to protect the computer.
Heck with you.
Yeah. You're absolutely right, Mike. What's your question?
Another thing is, I've been on the phone with Microsoft a couple times. They text there, and they've told me specifically not to upgrade to Vista. They said it's garbage. Don't touch it for at least 6 to 8 months.
Yeah.
That's coming right from Microsoft.
Yeah. If you buy a new computer that has Vista on it, you're pretty set that it will probably work. But don't run any old software or old peripherals.
Right. And there's a bunch of stuff you can't buy for it.
Right.
Yeah.
But if all you want is a machine that is running Windows and probably Microsoft Office.
2007, though, yeah.
2007, then you should be okay. But your printer may not work with it. Your modem may not work with it. You know, all kinds of things.
Paul Orlini from IBM kind of let something slip a week or so ago at an IBM conference that IBM's sales are down, and he says it'll probably catch up in the fourth quarter when Microsoft releases Service Pack 1 for Vista. And everyone poked their ears up and said, Service Pack 1 for Vista? You're announcing something here?
Yeah, right. Listen, I'm sorry, Mike. Hang on the line. Don't hang up. He's gone already? What happened to him?
Oh, he finished his questions.
Oh, okay. That's it then. We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, Schlemiel, Schlemazel, Hasenbeck, and Corcoran.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 53 minutes after the hour, that's our sponsor, Blatt's Beer. And you're listening to Soundbites.
Everyone raise your slots.
Exactly. We're back. Before we go any farther, I want to thank two people this last week who actually sent me checks for the new server.
Cool.
I was for the archive server, I was very impressed. Thank you both very much.
And I want to thank Dolores and Dennis for getting me copies of the shows that we were missing. And I've got those uploaded now to the server. So the last couple were a little out of order. That was the one thing. I was waiting to get the shows I missed, so I wasn't uploading the new shows to keep them all in order.
Right.
But then people were complaining that there were no shows, so they're there now, but they're out of order.
Well, they'll have to get over it.
Yeah. So thanks a lot for that.
Yep. All right, our next caller is Jeff on a cell phone. Welcome, Jeff. What's your question?
Hi, I've got a HP laptop. I was booting it up one day, and the battery was dead, and I was using a power cord, and the power cord got knocked off or out of the outlet, so it, during the boot process, unplugged. When I went to try to reboot after that, I got an error message that said that couldn't find the config sys file.
It's possible the hard drive got corrupted during the in essence, a crash, power failure crash.
And with XP, it shouldn't need a config file.
You might be able to boot into command line only and run, what is
last
it?
Last known good boot.
I went to the
screen where it tries to, boot into the safe mode.
Yeah.
And it won't go into the safe mode. It just keeps recycling.
Then it sounds like you're going to have to do the load Windows over Windows.
You don't by any chance have something in the CD drive, do you? Okay. Hmm.
Try booting in command line only, which is another one of the options on that safe mode screen, and do fdisk/mbr to rewrite your master boot record. So it sounds like something corrupted. A file was trying to read or write when the power failed, and it corrupted it, so now it won't read it again.
So I got to go into the...
Yeah, when you hit the F8 key to bring up the right screen to pick safe mode, one of the other options is command line only or command prompt only, something like that.
Right.
So give it a shot.
All right, so command line only, and I type in what?
fdisk/mbr for master boot record. And hopefully that'll fix it. And then, installing Windows over Windows should repair any damaged files also.
All right, I think we have time for Gary from Farmington. Welcome, Gary. What's your question?
Hi, I just want to know, I've heard different things about a desktop PC, whether or not it's better for the processor to keep it running or to shut it off. I'd just like to know what your opinion is.
Well, you'll get three more opinions.
Well,
people get four opinions.
The key thing is if my rule of thumb is, because folks are worried about leaving it on all the time, is the first person in the morning turns it on, just turn off the monitor throughout the day. Last person at night shuts it on down.
Right.
It's more wear and tear that if you come in and you turn it on, use it for 20 minutes, shut it off.
Right.
Half hour later, somebody else comes in, turns it on, uses it for an hour, shuts it off.
Right. What about a business?
A business?
On again, in the morning,
you know
off
what?
Night.
I leave my machine on 24/7, but I make sure there are two things. For three things. Nobody expects Spanish Inquisition. First, the monitor goes off regularly. Secondly, it's on a conditioned UPS so that there's I don't worry about spikes, brownouts, or anything.
Uh-huh.
And third, the room is cool. I don't, you know, it's in an air-conditioned room, so that there's not a fluctuation of heat. My systems run for years at a time without ever being shut down.
It's an interesting catch-22, is if you turn them on and off too much, you wear them out. If you leave them on, you wear them out. If you leave them on, you're wasting electricity. If you leave them on, you wear them out, and they end up in the waste stream. So you're really, you know, there's no good way to do it.
Right. But I'm telling you, first you got to make sure it's on a conditioned UPS so that the power supply, basically a conditioned UPS always runs the computer from the battery and always recharges the battery from the phone line, power line. That way, if there's a brownout, you don't get affected because the battery's running your machine.
And now that we're running into summer storm season.
Right. Mm-hmm. If there's a spike, the battery can handle a spike 10,000 times higher than your computer can without even noticing it. So you're safe that way, too. And so a conditioned UPS is the way to go.
Yeah, don't rely on surge suppressors. Surges are an extremely rare occurrence. Brownouts are much, much, much more common.
And much more damaging to the computer.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's your story, Gary. And that's good advice for all of you. Get a conditioned UPS to plug your computer into. You don't have to put the monitor on it or your printer or none of that stuff. Just the computer itself is really the important thing. Maybe the monitor, I guess, if you want to be able to see it to shut it down during a blackout. But nothing else. We're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton. I'm Nick Francesco. Thanks to everybody who called in. I want to apologize to everyone to whom we did not get. Call earlier and more often next weekend. We will be back here next weekend at the same time, the same channel, 7 days later. I want to thank all the folks at Wham who make this show possible. I don't think we thank them often enough for putting us on the air every week to bring our advice and everything else. It's 59 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Bye-bye. The Buffalo